Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 35 to 58. That's found on page 1789 in your pew Bible. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord grant his blessing to the hearing and to the reading of it.
There's a show on the Home and Garden Channel called, about the Gaineses. Chip and Joanna Gaines, is that still on because she had the new baby? Okay. Anyway, it's called Fixer Upper. They live in Waco, Texas, and they take old houses and they fix them up to be, these amazing things of beauty. And these homes are totally made new so that when the final reveal comes and happens, the people who own these homes, their breath is taken away and our breath is taken away. Now, I don't know about you, but my home could benefit from one of those fixer-upper things going on. And I've got old worn-out stuff all around my house, and that needs to be replaced, too. I remember once I had an old enamel-top kitchen table. You know those lovely old wooden tables that used to have the enamel top that the sides, pulled out and the springs snapped up? And we were sitting having supper one time, and Greg said, Mom, is the reason that we have this old kitchen table because we're poor? Greg never has appreciated a well-preserved antique. He thought that all of the old stuff in our house needed to be replaced. And all of the old stuff in my life isn't just about my house, either. The wear and the tear that time takes, it's something. It takes its toll on all of the things around us, and it takes its toll on us. The fact that I'm preaching today in sunglasses illustrates my point. I just have to tell you that this past week, because I couldn't visit anybody, I was working in the office all week long, and John Nairn stopped in. I have always appreciated his honesty, and as he left yesterday, I said, John, I said, you know, I'm not particularly vain about this. You know, I said, I'm really thinking about preaching and coming to church tomorrow without the sunglasses. And he went, nah, you really need to wear those sunglasses. And I truly appreciate that. God bless you, John, because, you know, some people won't tell you the truth. So I've always appreciated that about John. But anyway, we're on medication. We break bones. We tear ligaments. We need body parts replaced and repaired. We wear glasses. We have sores. We have bumps. We have bruises. We have bulges. We have sags. But it's not just the wear and tear of time that is taking its toll on our bodies. It's the wear and tear of sin as well. You know, from the beginning, sin has affected and infected all of us, physically and morally and intellectually and emotionally, relationally. Both Romans 8:23 and 2 Corinthians 5:2 say that inwardly we groan because we long for healing and we long to be changed, secretly wishing that we could be made new. Well, the guarantee of the Bible is that being made new is exactly what God intends to do for us. God plans on making us a heavenly fixer-upper. God plans on making a brand new you. The you that you aren't yet, but that God intends for you to be. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning from our scripture lesson from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 58. Now, in verses 1 through 11, Paul assured us of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In verses 1 through, in verses 12 through 34, Paul guaranteed that Jesus' resurrection guarantees our own. And then in verses 13 to 58, Paul described just what this fixed up, resurrected body is going to be like. Now, there are three important questions that are answered by this passage this morning. The first question is this: how are we made new? By dying and rising again. Verse 35 says, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? And Paul answers really quick, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You must die to live. No one enters into the kingdom of God as they are. Verse 50 says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. We must die first so that we can be raised up to a new kind of living. There's an important lesson for us to remember here, and that is none of us can make ourselves new. I mean, it's not that we don't try. I mean, we try. We diet, you know, we bulk up, we work out, we meditate, we medicate. But the very fact that in order to have new life, we have to die first means that renewal is a work of God. Now, in this life, when we commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we step over that line and we throw in with Jesus, we are constantly dying to ourselves. It is a struggle. That old man, he starts to rear his head up, and we are constantly beating him back by the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, and hanging that on the cross. But after physical death, I get my new glorified body. I'm going to be very thin, in other words. And that's what we're talking about today. Now, the second question this passage answers is this: what will we be like in heaven? Now, in the main part of this passage, Paul says that we will be similar but different. On the one hand, in heaven, your new self is going to be similar to the self that you have today. Verse 37, when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Now, that analogy of a seed is really, really important for us. When you sow a seed, it produces a plant that is similar but different from the seed. But there is a continuity between the seed and the mature plant, because a tomato seed produces a tomato plant, and a watermelon seed produces a watermelon. So when you get to heaven, there is going to be a similarity between you then and you now. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was recognized as Jesus. People looked at him, they knew he was Jesus. Matthew 8:11 alludes to the fact that one day we're going to be meeting Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, apparently we're going to know who they are. I mean, we're going to have to be able to recognize them for who they are. And since God made us for eternity, what makes us unique here on earth, like our personalities and our gifts and our abilities, they're still going to somehow be a part of us in the presence of God. We're going to see with eyes. We're going to hear with ears. We're going to speak with our mouths. We're going to walk with feet. The seed of who we are today will be connected with who we will be in heaven. Now, on the other hand, in heaven, your new self is going to be different than who you are today. Now, using the plant analogy, the plant is really kind of better than the seed that produced it. I mean, it's younger, you know, it's usually more vigorous. Paul goes on to say in verses 39 to 41 that not all kinds of flesh are the same. Even in nature, you know, God has created so many different kinds of things with varying degrees of complexity and varying degrees of beauty. So that even though there will be similarities between our earthly bodies and our heavenly bodies, our glorified bodies are going to be kicking, and we are going to be brand new. Now pay close attention to verses 42 to 44. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now notice the words that Paul uses to describe the new you. Imperishable. If you bring food to a food drive, you don't bring perishable food. You bring imperishable food. You bring food that is non-perishable. Fruit rots within a week. Bread goes stale eventually. And you can't keep meat forever. Non-perishable means canned goods, dried foods, and Twinkies, which I think they last for 75 years. So in heaven, we are going to be less like fruit, and we are going to be more like Twinkies. Our new bodies are going to be indestructible. They're not going to wear out. They're not going to grow old. They're not going to decay. We're not going to have headaches. We're not going to have indigestion. We're not going to pull a muscle. We're never going to get cataracts. We won't have bad hearts, and we're never going to get cancer. There aren't any pharmacies, hospitals, or funeral homes in heaven. Nothing is perishable. So our bodies will be imperishable. And our bodies are going to be glorious. Philippians 3:20 reads, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Okay, theologically speaking, the final stage of our ongoing transformation is glorification, where we become fully and finally like Christ. And that is God's goal for all of his blood-bought, redeemed believers. Our hearts will be changed. Our motives will be made pure. We will be God-centered and sinless and gloriously like Christ. Our bodies are going to be powerful bodies. What is weak today will be powerful in heaven. Now, we are not going to become like God, but the Bible suggests that we're going to have some kind of new abilities. Now, I don't know what that is, okay? Maybe an understanding. I don't know. Maybe an action. But nothing is going to limit us from doing God's will. will be spiritual. Our spiritual body is contrasted with our natural body. Now, we have to be really, really careful that we don't misunderstand how this works. Paul doesn't mean that we are going to become disembodied spirits or ghosts that are somehow floating around in the clouds. He is contrasting spiritual with natural. Spiritual as opposed to natural. Verses 45 to 49 say that we will be dominated by the Spirit of Christ, not the spirit of man. Boy, I am looking forward to that day. We will not have to fight our old nature anymore. We will not have to constantly, day by day, crucify those sins that we seem bent on committing each and every day. We will be driven by the same Spirit that powered Christ, which is why we're going to be content to worship 24/7. I always say to folks who don't like to go to worship, like, oh, I got some bad news for you, buddy. You know, heaven's church 24/7. You know that, right? You know, I feel real bad for them, but nothing is going to disappoint us in heaven. We're going to be brand new. I mean, we are disappointed all the time. We are betrayed in this life all the time. That's not going to happen in heaven. So the first question answered is, how are we made new? By dying, rising again. The second question that was answered is, what will we be like in heaven? Well, Paul says that we're going to be similar, but different. And then this passage answers a third question. When will we become new? Now, this might seem like a really silly question, since we already talked about having to die to get new life. But verse 51 to 53 gets more specific. Listen, Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. None of us gets our fixer-upper until Jesus Christ returns. The trumpet Paul refers to is the trumpet call of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You see, those who have died are in the presence of God, but are not finally glorified. When Jesus comes, unexpectedly, triumphantly, in victory, the dead will be raised and changed, and it's going to be like that. It's going to take place in a flash, in a blink, in a moment. 1 John 3:2 says, Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, the unknown of death does make it scary. The process of death is scary. And for many of us, you know, we're not so afraid of death so much as we're afraid of the process of dying. But God is in the midst of it all. And if my death will lead to new life, and a brand new me, then I can look forward to it with hope. And that's the intent of this passage. That was Paul's intent by writing these words. And that's why Paul added in verse 58, Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We need those words today as much as they needed them then. How many of us here this morning are chipped, broken, and bent? How many of us here this morning are chipped, broken, and bent? How many of us here this morning are weak and worn? The wear and tear of time taken its toll on us. And the wear and tear of sin has taken its toll on us. And we all need a fixer-upper. So be encouraged when Christ returns, those who are alive will be snatched up into heaven, and those who have died in Christ will be raised from the dead, and God will complete what he began in your first moment of faith. And he will make a brand new you. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, none of us wants to die, but some of us are afraid of living. So we pray, Father God, by your Spirit, that we would live each and every day on this earth in service to your Son, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, living each day to the fullest. But Father God, on that day when you call us home, we pray that we would hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest." And Father God, we do look forward to that day. Lord, give us hope for the future and strength for today. For we pray it in the name of the one who makes it all possible, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.